I want to speak today about spiritual gifts and the importance of spiritual gifts, because did you know everything that Jesus Christ did was the result of one or more or a combination of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in his life? The gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in his life. Every word he uttered, he heard from heaven. It was given to him by the Holy Spirit. All his teaching was quickened by the Holy Spirit. Every miracle that he did was done through the gift of miracles given to him and imparted to him by the Holy Spirit. All his healings were done through the gift of healing imparted by the Holy Spirit. And it is important that we understand the gifts today need to be manifested in God's church. One of the great blessings to the church many years ago was the Reformation that came through Martin Luther. And Martin Luther, if you don't know of Martin Luther existed in a day where no one had Bibles. And the Catholic Church, or the Church of the days, told people for themselves what God meant. And he got a Bible for himself. And in the ways the church was teaching in those days, they were teaching pretty much that salvation came through good works. And some parts of the church today still teach that. That it's through merit that we earn God's favor. And Martin Luther picked up a Bible and he read the words that we are justified by faith alone. And his whole ministry began. And he started to realize that we were not saved through good works, but we were saved through believing and believing the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God, he proclaimed. And therefore, in the early church, that what became central after the Reformation of Martin Luther King was that people would move by faith, they would live by faith, but to do that, they needed to hear the Word of God. So the sermon. And the sermon became central to everything. And everybody came to church to hear this great sermon. And as important as the Word of God is, I'm a preacher, I believe powerfully in the Word of God, to hear the Word of God for us today and to hear an anointed Word of God. As much as I believe that, the sermon became much more, so much more central to the church than it should be. The sermon should just be part of the church of God. And I want to read you today 1 Corinthians 14. I want to read you how God wants us to meet and the importance and the place, not only the Word of God, but the spiritual gifts in the life of the church. From verse 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Never in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort it to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, without flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known whether it is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be so, many kinds of language in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I also sing with the understanding. So otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in one who is uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among us. How then is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone has a tongue, let them be what, two or three, two or three at the most, and in turn, let one interpret. For if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And if the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, or they are not permitted to speak, for they are to be submissive as the law says. And if they want to learn, tell them to go home and ask their husbands at home, for it is a shameful thing for a woman to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. I'll stop there. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. That letter was written to the church at Corinth, who was a lively church, but in regard to spiritual gifts, it was a little bit out of control. But Paul writes this letter, and many, many times I've heard this letter preached. I've heard this part of the passage preached, and the last verse there, let all things be done decently and in order. People focus on the fact that there needs to be order in the church, and often that is used as an excuse to forbid the speaking of tongues and to forbid the prophesying in the church, and they forget the first part of it says, let all things be done in order. And God wants a church which is alive and as I said earlier, represents the head, and all Jesus did was through the spiritual gifts, and he wants to impart to you, the Holy Spirit wants to impart to you a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit wants to impart to you something which you can be used, and every spiritual gift has its purpose. It is to edify the church, but he wants to use you. This passage speaks about when you all come together, each one, it says in chapter 14, in verse 26, whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, interpretation. Let all things be done for the edification. So God wants to give each one of us a gift of the Holy Spirit, so that his power may be manifest in his body. So people may come in and when the spiritual gifts are at work, when people are prophesying, when people are speaking in tongues, when the gift of miracles, when the gift of healings are actually happening and manifesting in the church, people say, this is not a social club. God is in this house. And that's what God wants for his church. And I believe in many parts of the Western church, there are parts of the body that are missing. There are many parts of the body that are missing. And I just say to you today, as a believer, are you satisfied? Do you want to come to a place, be it this church or any church, where you come and your social needs are met, you have community, you may be encouraged, you may listen to a message that blesses you and sermon to you, but you are satisfied with that and you go home feeling better? Or do you want the Holy Spirit, to be so intimate with you and to so know the Holy Spirit that he will share and give you a supernatural gift upon your life? That's the question, because most people today in the Western church are satisfied to come to church, have their social needs met, hear a worship, word of encouragement, and go home feeling better. That's the reality. But I'm speaking to people today. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit to manifest and do something and give you something where you say, my goodness, I'm hearing from heaven, or this is from heaven? I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, I remember when I got the gift of healing. The Holy Spirit gave me the gift of healing. This is how it happened. My hands started to get hot, and I didn't know what was happening until the Holy Spirit said to me, lay hands on people, and they were healed. And this is reality. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that God, when that happens, God is flowing through you. And God, in 1 Corinthians 12, we speak about the gifts. I don't want to go through that, but you can look at it when you get home. It speaks about all the order of the gifts. And it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, there you go, each one of you for the profit of all. So these spiritual gifts. And then he lists them. He lists them. The word of wisdom. You can just go through them when you get home. But basically, all the gifts listed there are separated into thinking gifts, speaking gifts, thinking gifts, so word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits, and how we need that in the church today. Thinking, speaking gifts. That's speaking gifts are speaking in tongues with an interpretation and prophesying. And acting gifts, which are gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. And God wants to release those gifts so that his power is manifest in his church. His power is manifest in his church. And Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14 that there are certain types of gifts. And he speaks about the two primary gifts that that we should be interested in pursuing. And by the way, he says you are to, it's the only place in the scriptures at the end of chapter 12 where you're actually encouraged to covet something. Verse 31 of chapter 12 says, but eagerly desire, earnestly desire. That word is better translated. And some translation is covet the best gifts. And verse 14 starts, chapter 14, I should say, starts with pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And he goes on to say, he speaks about the two types of gifts in the church that he wanted them to be focused on. And he's focusing on the speaking gifts here, and he's saying, I want it that there be tongues. He speaks about the importance of having tongues with interpretation in a body. He says, because the tongues with interpretation deal with the mysteries of God. It speaks about when there is a tongue and its interpretation, people are speaking. They're actually speaking about the mysteries, and that means that some things, some knowledge of God, he has hidden. But when someone prophesies or someone speaks in a tongue and is interpreted, those mysteries, those deep things of God, are being revealed. And Paul says, I just don't understand how people can come against the gifts today and say they're not for today. There's nothing in the scriptures that say that. I know some of us have been taught that, but some people say where it says eagerly. But eagerly desire the best gifts, and then it says, I'll show you a more excellent way. And it speaks about love. That's not actually saying that you ignore the gifts because now we have love and love is better. It actually saying that the gifts, 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love, the gifts should be exercised in the context of love. And it should be, we don't prophesy, we don't speak in tongues for ourselves, we always prophesy for the edification of the church, to build the church, to bless the church. You should come in here and say, I've got something from heaven today, and I want to speak it out to the church because it's going to bless somebody. And God wants us to be a church, and it's so important that we be a prophetic church. And God wants to strengthen this church in the prophetic. He actually wants us, because I tell you why, how important the prophetic is. The prophetic is simply an authoritative declaration of someone who is heard from heaven. That's all it is. There's a lot of fluff spoken about prophecy, and there's a lot of pillow prophecy today about, it's more like fortune telling. But prophecy is simply when someone has actually heard a rhema word from God and they declare it out with the authority of God. And that word, it says that word goes forth like a arrow, a honed arrow between soul and spirit. And the word of prophecy encourages, because it gets that place in the heart where there is fear, and it destroys it and it imparts fresh, courageous faith again. That's what it happens when there is the rhema prophetic word in the house of God. People don't become fearful. People don't lose their heart for God. The prophetic word comes and strengthens and builds and edifies and builds the body of church every Sunday. So that's simply the prophetic word. And the prophetic word comes simply through being intimate with God. And you see the outworking of it in the scriptures. You see it in Acts chapter 11. If you go to Acts chapter 11, verse 28, some of the things that the prophetic work does for the church. When we have, this is someone called Agabus, who they identified as a prophet in the church. And it says that in chapter 11 of Acts, he stood up. And he declared and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world. And it also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And you see Agabus again in Acts chapter 21, verse 10. It says, a certain man came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem do to the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And it happened. And so what happened when there was prophecy in the church? One part of the prophetic ministry, it actually foretells what's about to happen. The Holy Spirit the Bible says the Spirit of God will come and he'll speak the things which are to come. And so people are not surprised. People are prepared. Agabus prepared the people for a famine. And then he prepared Paul. He said, you're going into Jerusalem, but it's not going to be easy. And when Paul got there, he wasn't surprised when he was bound, because the prophetic word from heaven had come and prepared him. And it prepares the mission of the church. The prophetic word prepares the mission and directs the mission of the church. But Paul says, when somebody prophesies in the church, he says, this is what's going to happen. He said, If verse 24, if all prophesy, an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. Thus the secrets of his heart revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is surely among us. And you see in John chapter 16:8, John's writing of the work that the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe with me. And when there is a true prophetic word in the house, the greatest evidence of it is there's a revelation. There's a conviction that I am not right with God. I am not right with God. There's sin in my life and I need to repent of it. So the prophetic word, it directs the church, but it convicts people of sin. And then because it is so real and it's from heaven, it says the secrets of his hearts are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is truly among you. And God wants us to be a people where you can come into church, and some of us who have been pressed in and prayed up will have a word from heaven, will speak it out, and there'll be somebody who comes in here and something will be said, and no one else will know that about that person. But someone will speak it in the meeting. Someone will speak out that word in the meeting. Like Jesus, when he said that woman had five husbands and she said, you told me everything I ever knew. He revealed something of her life that nobody else knew, but heaven revealed it through the prophetic word. And it says that when that happens, people are cut to the heart and they'll say, surely, this isn't just a church, this isn't a social club, but God is among the people when the prophetic word is released. And that's how God wants his church to be. He wants it to be just like it was in the book of Acts. He wants it to be a prophetic church. He wants it to be a house where people can come into to church on Sunday morning because you've been prayed up, you've been pressed into God, and God's actually revealed, he's spoken something into your inner ear, and it's not for you. It's for the body. It's for the body. It may be Christ is coming again. Remove the sin from your life. You're not ready. And somebody's just, they just know that. And that word actually, it actually comes. Faith cometh from hearing the word. And that word, the prophetic word, when it comes packed with the faith to do what needs to be done. That's why the prophetic word is so important. Because it's from heaven and it accomplishes what it's sent to do. So we can't be a people who are content to come in here on a Sunday and have a good word and just be encouraged. We actually want to understand that God wants his church to be prophetic. He wants his church to be moving and receiving and active in spiritual gifts. Now, Paul says about speaking in tongues. Tongues reveal the mysteries. When someone speaks in a tongue, I love when Nancy speaks in a tongue. We've got someone here, Nancy, who speaks in a tongue, and she interprets her own tongue. That's what I get more out of that in church meeting than anything else, because I know it's from heaven. And it says the tongues reveal the mysteries, the hidden things that sometimes the devil or other things want to cover up, but God actually wants to reveal depths and measures of his word, things that are wonderful, but we need to know they're mysteries. And when a tongue is spoken and it is interpreted, that mystery is revealed and the church is built up, because it's not something that can be naturally learned. It's something that has been revealed from heaven to us. And Paul says, you know, about speaking in tongues, he says, this is the importance of it. He says, I wish you would all. And he speaks about two uses of tongues. He speaks about tongues being used personally to edify himself. And there's a difference here. There's nothing that edifies someone more than speaking in tongues, because you've got a body, you got a soul, and you got a spirit. And when you pray in tongues, you build your spirit man up. And your spirit man wants to overtake your flesh man so that Christ can be more manifest in you. And sometimes you get you discouraged. But when you pray in the spirit, you're not praying with your understanding, Paul says. You're not praying with your mind. You're actually praying into the mind of God. You're praying into the will of God. Your spirit is connecting with God, who is spirit. And you're praying above your understanding. You're praying supernaturally. You're praying into the realm of God's way and God's wills, and you don't understand what you're praying, but your spirit is praying. Your mind is not praying. Your spirit is praying straight into the Spirit of God. And nothing is more edifying. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you, and so do I as your leader. I pray in tongues more than all of you, because it builds me, it strengthens me, and it's something that you should all desire, the gift of tongues. But he says, when it's in a church, he says, it has to be interpreted. Because if someone's praying in a church and they're an unbeliever and they walk into the church and they see someone just everyone babbling in tongues, they'll think you're crazy. And that is the truth. That's the order that should be in the house of God, that we should have. When there is a tongue spoken, there should be an interpretation, not for us, but for the unbeliever who doesn't access it. If it's a prayer meeting where there's just Christians, I always say you just go for it. Because every Christian, they understand what's happening. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So God wants you to know that he has supernatural gifts. And he wants the body to be full of supernaturally gifted people. And that just simply means people that are so intimate with the Holy Spirit will start to share his life with you. Some people think that you know, I've got this gift or I've got that gift. I have a different view on the gifts. The gifts all belong to the Spirit. They're not my gifts. But the gifts operate where they're needed. Where if we let the Holy Spirit flow through us, you'll be surprised what you can move in. I will tell a story where I went to Egypt. And I would not say ever before Egypt I had a gift of miracles or signs and wonders, but my wife will testify to this. We were prayed up. We went to a meeting before we left, and we were just overflowing with Sister Isabel, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We were filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. We went away in such a good way with God. And when I get off the plane in Egypt, this Pastor Magdy met me and he said, congratulations, we're so looking forward to having with you because we know you have a gift of miracles and signs and wonders. And I looked at Michelle and said, do I? But this is what God told me. They're not my gifts. It's like if you go out and you're a worker, this is how the gifts work. If you go out and you're a worker and you're working on the street out there and you need a hammer because that's the job you're doing out there, the Holy Spirit will give you a hammer. But if you go over there and you've got to plow a field and you need a plow, the Holy Spirit's not going to give you a hammer. He's going to give you a plow. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given. They're His gifts. They're given depending on where we are and what we need. And in that meeting in Egypt, in the second meeting we were there, after we were denounced in the first meeting, this little girl was dropped into the meeting just like as in in the old biblical days where someone dropped someone through the roof with Jesus. This little girl, 2 years old, never walked, was dropped into that meeting. My wife was there and she walked out of it. The gift of miracles was released by the Holy Spirit. And I haven't moved in that gift of miracles back here, but I moved it in Egypt because the Holy Spirit gave that gift. So the question is, the Bible says that we shouldn't come in here. The great weakness of the Pentecostal church and the great weakness of the conservative church is the same. In the conservative church, conservative church, what's going to be the focus of the meeting is going to be the Word of God. We're going to read the Word of God and you're all going to gather and the meeting is going to be focused on the Word. In some Pentecostal churches, the focus of the meeting is going to be the miracle. Someone's going to be up here and they're going to say there's going to be a miracle. But in both cases, what happens in often churches today is that be it the preacher or the miracle worker, they're the focus and everyone else is passive. You come into church and I minister to you and you're passive. But listen what it says in the Word of God. Wherever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all these things be done for the edification of the body. My desire is to have a church where I come in, and some Sundays I come in here and say, I just know the Spirit of God, the anointing is not on me today. It's going to be on somebody else. And somebody else comes in here and says, Pastor, I don't know, but I'm bursting like Jeremiah. The Word of God is like fire in my bones. Somehow it's got to get out today. And I say, you're preaching. Because that's how a New Testament church was. It wasn't just about one central person coming week in, week out, week in. I love to preach, don't get me wrong. But there are some of you, God wants to give you a gift. He wants to give you the ability to prophesy in the church. He wants to give you ability to speak in a tongue and interpret in a church. He wants to give you a revelation that is not for you. It's actually to build up the church. It's just something that God, a mystery God has revealed. Something in the Word, the week He showed you. And you come into church, you say, I'm so excited because I want to share that with the body today. It's going to build them up. Because every revelation you get, it's seed for the sower. Bread for the eater, but it's also seed for the sower. It means it's for you, but it's also for others. So God wants a body that's a supernatural body where the Holy Spirit is at work and He's revealing to you, maybe in a dream this week. A Holy Spirit says when He's poured out, He will give you visions and dreams. And you come into church, you say, I had a dream this week. It was from heaven and it's for the body. I want to share it with the body. Or I had a vision this week and it's for the church. I want to get up and share what God said to me. And it's from, if it's real, if it's from heaven, if it's really from the Holy Spirit, it'll build and bless the whole church. It'll edify and strengthen the whole church. Or maybe you'll come in here and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll have a tongue to speak out, but you know it's something to be spoke out and there'll be an interpretation. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not there. I'm just like everybody. I've been westernized, and I'm not being critical in it. We've been westernized. We do church this way, but I'm telling you, God is speaking to me about a new season. God's speaking to me about change. And He wants His church to be more powerful. He wants His church to come back into the original condition where it's a powerhouse. People come into the church and say, God is among those people. There's stuff happening in that body that cannot be explained. I just didn't come in and get a nice message and my ears tickle. There's something of God in that place because the Holy Spirit is moving. And you say, well, how can God give me a gift? How can God impart to me the gifts of prophecy? I've said many, many times, the problem with the Western church is we're not persecuted. Don't believe that. We're just unpopular yet. That's not the problem with the Western church. The problem with the Western church is apathy. And you have to work against apathy. We are the Laodicean church in the West. We actually have to deliberately just know we don't need God for much of our life. The government will give you everything in this world. But in other places where they need God, they're pressed in and they're prayed up because they need God to provide every day. So you've got to realize that you've got to fight apathy in this nation. You've got to fight apathy in your spiritual life. You've got to fight the desire that, look, I can just put my feet up. I'm blood washed. I just want correct doctrine and my ticket to heaven, because that's 90% of the Western church. But if you want to be used by God, if you want to go further, you've got to eagerly desire. You have to covet the spiritual gifts. You've got to say, I actually want to hear from God. I want that word of knowledge. Like Jesus be able to say to that woman, no, you had five husbands, and she was immediately convicted of a sin. I want to hear from heaven to be able to say that. And it says, eagerly, earnestly desire, pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. And I ask you this morning, are you in that place where you are hungry, where you are coveting, where you are saying, God, I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be in the same level, but I want my tongue to be moved by God. I want a thinking gift. I want a speaking gift. I want an acting gift. I got good news for you. If that's what you want, this is what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 11. He said, so I say to you. Verse 9. This is what he says. He says to you, ask. How do you get a spiritual gift? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who receives, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to whom ask him? But that means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking until God gives it to you. And I want to tell you, if you ask like that, because God knows if you really want it. If you ask like that, like this is how you ask something from God. I believe this is how you ask from God. I've only learned this through experience. It's like Jacob got in the prayer closet and he lay hold of God and said, I ain't letting go till you bless me. I know your will is to bless me. It was revealed by my Father, but I ain't letting go till I get what you promised. I'm not letting go till something of heaven comes down into my life. I want to be used by you. I just don't want to be a ticket to heaven Christian, but I actually want these gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want the power of God, the word of God, the thoughts of God to manifest through my life. I want to be used by God to come into church to edify and build the body. And then when you get a gift, what do you do with it? Someone says to me, you know, I speak in tongues quite fluently, but when I first spoke in tongues, I had one syllable. God gave me one syllable. One syllable. I knew it was from heaven. I walked into a room, and I'd been an itinerant minister in the Baptist church, and no one was getting saved. I went to Indonesia, and I walked into this room, and I just preached to all these pastors, and it was dreadful. And this man came to me, and he said to me, you have no power. Imagine that. You have no power, he said. power, the Spirit of God is not upon you. But he said, God sent me to your hotel here to release the power. And as he came across me, I spoke in tongues, one syllable. But I knew it was heaven. And I kept praying that one syllable. And you know what happened? That one syllable turned into two syllables. Because there's something about the kingdom of God. God says to you, if you've got a spiritual gift, it's like this. You use it or you lose it. And when I say that, you can say, oh, that's just a cliche. No, it's not. If you turn to Luke chapter 16. God speaks about this parable. And he speaks about a man who, this parable, many others like it. A man who was about to lose his job and he went and started to cut everyone's bills. And at the end of that episode where he's cutting everyone's bills because he knows he's going to be unemployed, Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon in verse 9. That when you fail, they will receive you into heavenly home. He who is faithful in that which is little will also be faithful in that which is much. He who is unjust in what is little will be unjust in what is much. Thus you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? The point is that God commits something to you. He actually gives you something, and he sees if you're going to be faithful with its use. He sees if you're going to use it. And then he spoke another parable, which I've preached on many times, the parable of the tenants. And it means that the master, who is God, gave people talents, well, gifts. Could be money, could be whatever. And those that were faithful with what they'd been given, they got increase. But those who had buried that gift, they lost what they had. It was taken off and given it to the faithful. So that means when God gives you a gift, if you're faithful with the gift, that is blessed and it is rewarded. But if you're faithless, it is judged and it's taken. You can lose it. So God wants he wants to actually give you. He wants to impart to you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And actually, I believe God is actually saying to us, even as a body, he wants to change the season and to make our meetings far more blessed. He wants to make our meetings far richer. He wants to edify and build us up far greater. And the key is you. Yep, the key is you. The key is your hunger for God. The key is your desire for something supernatural. It's all of our desire for something true. And the key is that we want to be used by God. We want God to speak through us. And we want to be a people who are directed by God, hearing from God. We want people to come in here and be convicted by their sin because the word of God, the prophetic word, is so powerful. And the people, not just from the pulpit, have it. So how does this really work in practice? Finally, it speaks about an order. That all things to be done in order. There are parameters to the prophetic. That it's not just everybody gets up and has a go. A prophecy must be weighed, it says. The prophets are to be weighed by the prophets. Therefore, if somebody has a word, unless somebody is a mature, recognized, someone who's, I believe, recognized by the body as having the office of prophet, only somebody who is really mature can say, thus saith the Lord. Whenever anyone else has a word, it should be weighed. It should be, I believe God is saying this. I believe God is saying this. And the rest of the body, who we all have the Holy Spirit, we weigh that word. We weigh that word. Sometimes somebody's got to get up and say, brother, you're in the flesh. You're zealous, but you're in the flesh. But that word is to be weighed. So it's not chaos. It is order. But let all things be done in order. The emphasis is not on the order. The emphasis is on the all things. God wants to release more heavy spirit into your life. wants to give you thinking gifts. He wants to give you speaking gifts. He wants to give you power gifts. And these gifts are a sign to the unbeliever when they come in here that God is among you. So we haven't praised God to start with today. We're going to praise God now. And as we praise God, I just believe there are some good-hearted people here today who maybe, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. I don't want you to be ignorant. Some of us are ignorant. We actually just grown up in maybe conservative areas where we haven't been understanding that the Holy Spirit is the key to the Christian life. It's the key to victory. It's the key to the edification of the church. We cannot have a place where we're just receiving natural instructions and everything is at the level of our understanding. That's good. To be taught at our level of understanding is good, but God wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to be able to receive from heaven. He wants us to be able to receive a word. He wants us to be able to deliver a word to the body, which has been down. It has been downloaded into our spirit. It has quickened us first, and we know that this word has got life to us, and be able to declare and speak that into the body so that the whole body is edified. He wants you to be somebody who's actually going, when you wake up in the morning, you spend time with God, you receive that word from heaven, so you've got something for somebody in the day, a word that's going to strengthen and edify somebody in the street. So the Holy Spirit has gifts for you. And do you know the reality, but this is before we go, the reality of why many of us don't have gifts? God's been speaking to me about He only fills the empty. Many of us don't have gifts because we're satisfied.